This series is really getting me. I tell you what, I started this series on the promises of God a couple weeks or last week, and it is just so big. I literally am overwhelmed by this series because, and it's not, it's all good stuff. That's the trouble. It's hard. It's kind of like trying to choose the best fruit in a fruit basket and you love them all. You know what I'm saying? There's this great big pile of amazing things that you can choose from. And I'm trying to figure out which promises and I'm supposed to be looking at and speaking about this. And so this week, I'm having a hard time getting going this morning. This week, doing my study, I was trying to figure out, okay, so what promise of God do we need to look at this morning? And I struggled with it all the way up until yesterday afternoon. And finally, I started reflecting back on my week. And I love how God works in all of our lives. I especially love how he works in my life because he brings circumstances into my life that as it's going on, I don't even recognize it. I don't even see it. It's just happening and I'm living through it. And it doesn't mean a whole lot. But then at the end of the week, usually on Saturday and Friday night, and especially Saturday night and Sunday morning, I start reflecting on my week because that's how I feel like God guides and directs me. So this past week, I started watching a series on Netflix during my lunch hour. Usually I come home for lunch and make a can of soup and sit down, and if there's no one there to talk with, I'll turn on the TV, and so I'm having a hard time watching the news anymore, so I started watching a series on Netflix called Alone, okay? So the reason I chose this program called Alone is because it's so stinking hot out right now. I mean, it is hot. Have you noticed how hot it is? So I come in and I want to remember my favorite time of year, Jody, when it's cold. And so Alone is this program where they take 10 different people and they place them in the Arctic, all right, all by themselves. They have this little area and they don't give them any food or anything like that. They have to live off the land and they have to make their own shelter and they have to find their own food and they have to do all the water stuff and make fire and all these different things. And so it's like a contest of who can stay alone in the wilderness for the longest period of time. And they don't do it like during the summer. Of course, they put them in there in the fall and then the winter comes. And I just like sitting there eating my hot soup and watching these people be really cold. And it just reminds me that I can cool off a little bit. And then I have to go back outside and it's hot again. But anyway, so I've been watching this series called Alone. And the interesting thing about the series is as I started watching it, all the people that are in it are like these, you know, I'm self-sufficient. I'm, you know, super, super wilderness dude and or dudette or dudess or however you want to say it. They're all really confident in themselves and how they're able to do all these different things and all their knowledge and all their skill and all this other stuff. The first guy tapped out after 4 days, I think it was. He's like gone. So 4 days, that's all he had. But anyway, so they're always really confident in themselves and how they can be alone and things like that. But as the series goes on, as it continues on, it breaks people down. Being completely by yourself starts to break you down, all right? So what's really interesting to me, as it gets to the very end of the series, and you only got three or four people left, and each one of them have an inner strength, I will say, but none of them actually on the show, if you've watched it, none of them that I've seen have come on saying, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I trust in Jesus and stuff. None of them do that. In fact, most of them have some other type of religious theory they've got going on in their mind, which is, okay, that's fine. I understand it's kind of, you know, it's all good, all right? But it's always interesting near the end of the program when people are at their weakest, at their most vulnerable, all these different things, when something amazing happens, like they catch a rabbit. Okay, or they catch a fish, and they're hungry, and they're in their lowest point. It always amazes me, and it makes me smile. Maybe this is one of the reasons I'm getting to watch it this week, is that they catch this fish, and all of a sudden, guess what? The first thing comes out of their mouth. They aren't planning this. They're not, you know, it's not like it's something they thought about, but their reaction. I love their reaction. So this girl catches this fish, and guess what she says? And she's pulling it out of the water. Thank you, God! Thank you, God! Thank you, God! And she's just elated. And the first thing, even the strongest guy who just thinks he's got it all together, when it comes down to it, when it's in the heat of the moment, there's a recognition, there's an acknowledgement of a God. Of God. In their most alone state. And it seems so interesting as they they get into that aloneness when there's no one else to talk to, when there's no one else to converse with, when there's no one else to interact with. It's amazing how the longer you go in that position, the more introspective and the more you are able to hear or acknowledge a greater force, a God. And recognizing that you're not so much in control as you think you are. That there is someone else there. So the promise that I want to look at today of God, actually, it's all the way through the Bible. As a matter of fact, it is absolutely overwhelming the amount of verses that speak to this very concept of God being with you. As a matter of fact, he talks to Abraham at the very beginning. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct you. I'm never going to leave you. And so there's this aspect that was very funny that we have Moses here today. By the way, did you get that beard just in like 1 week? Have you been growing that for a while? I just haven't noticed it. It just seemed very white and very distinct this morning. So it was pretty awesome. Comes out of a jar? The whiteness. Okay, so it's not normally that white?
No.
Okay.
Just here?
Just here? Right here? But we're going way too far into this. All right, so. It's interesting that you did that this morning because the place that I want to look at is in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Okay? So we've got this Moses guy who's been leading these people around in the desert, coming to the promised land for 40 years, okay? And we're getting right to the end of the 40 years where the little kid is saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Moses is about to say, yes, we're there. Will you be quiet? So he's getting right there to that point where they're getting ready to cross over. And you all know, maybe you don't all know, but there's this point where they're just getting ready to cross over. And God comes to Moses and says, hey, you've been doing a great job, but you don't get to cross over. All right? You don't get to cross over in the promised land. You're going to have to stay behind. And so Moses is turning over the authority, turning over the leadership position to a guy named Joshua. And in chapter 31, it starts this. It says that Moses, this is verse 1. Then Moses went out and he spoke these words to the Israel. He says, I am now 120 years old and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you, and he will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and the Og and the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Verse 6. Moses says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. And here it is. He says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. It goes on. Then Moses summoned Joshua. And he said to just Joshua, in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people into the land the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. And the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So this concept that God will never leave you or forsake you. Actually, it's not just a concept. It's actually a promise. And it's actually in the very nature of God. Do you realize that? Because God, remember those three aspects of God that makes God God? He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And he's everywhere at once. So if God is God and he's everywhere, omnipresent, if he's everywhere at once, that means he is just being his very nature. When he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, that's a truth you can stand on. It's a promise because he's everywhere at all times. You cannot get away from him. He sees you. He knows you exactly where you're at in all circumstances. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. He knows where you're at all the time. And the reason he knows where you're at and what you're thinking and who you are is because he's everywhere.
It's a part of his nature. Sometimes I think we forget about how amazing God is because of the relationships that we have with other people, because we hear other people making that promise, man, I'm with you, bro. I'm right here with you. I'm right behind you. And so you go marching off, you turn around, and they're gone. Have you ever had that experience with people? Jesus has. He's had it many times. You remember this strong promise? It's in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We get to this spot, verse 31, says, then Jesus told his disciples, this very night you will fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And Peter, anyone got any friends like Peter? I hope you do. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. That's Peter's promise. I'll never fall away. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This very night, the very night in which you make this promise, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Even if I have to die with you, Peter says, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. We all know how that story turned out. You see, sometimes we associate God with our other relationships with other people. And here's the thing. It's a somewhat fair thing to do, only we have to recognize the nature of people and the nature of God. Okay? People will fail. As a matter of fact, everyone in your life, no matter how much you love them, no matter how strong they are, even your own mother, even your own father, even your own spouse, even your own kids, the people who are closest to you, that you love the most, that you are encouraged by the most, the ones that you depend on the most, here's the plain, simple truth of the matter. They will, all of them, fail you in some way, shape, or form. And that's a harsh thing to say. But the reality is, it's the truth. And the reason is because they're people. They're not perfect. They are going to disappoint you. They will leave. They don't have the power to do what God does, because people are not God. They don't have the attributes of God. Only God is the one who can make the promise, I will never. Ooh. Do you hear his voice right to you? This isn't Eldon speaking to you. God says to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, deny you, abandon you, turn from you. He says, lo, I am with you always. Now, when Moses is talking about this in Deuteronomy, he's talking to the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. You see, their circumstances were about to change. They've been wandering around for 40 years in the desert. They've been living on manna. They've been living on the quail and the different things, the provisions of God. And he's been taking care of them. He's been guiding and directing their every step, their every move. Every time they broke camp and moved or stayed in one place, it was by God's will, by God's designs. There was a pillar of fire. There was a cloud that guided them. They were following the pillar. They were following the cloud. They were following Moses. They were going as wherever God told them to go, whenever God told them to go. So they understood the presence of God. But things were about to change. Their circumstances were about to get shaken up. They were about to be given some freedom because they were going to go into the promised land. The pillar was going to disappear. The fire was going to disappear. The leader of Joshua or Moses, whoever was out in front, was going to disappear. They were going to stop leading. They were going to come into their own land. They were going to start going to making their own choices. God was going to be providing for them in different ways instead of going out and picking up the manna every day. They were actually going to have to work a little bit more for it now. They were going to have to depend on themselves a little bit, but they really weren't depending on themselves because God was still providing it. but they were working for it. And what happens is when your circumstances change, sometimes we forget that God is still with us no matter what our circumstances are, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. If we're going off to college for our very first time by ourselves, God is still with us. If our job has changed, God is still with us. If our relationships have changed, God is still with us. If our families have changed, God is still with us. He has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His character will never change. He loves you. He's following you. He's beside you. He's in front of you. He's everywhere. And he promises, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You see, no matter what our circumstances are, God is in the midst of it. And it's not surprising him. It's not taking him off balance. The things that are going on in your life, if all of a sudden your health has changed, if all of a sudden your family, if all of a sudden your finances have changed, if something has changed in your life, your circumstances are not dependent it's not dependent on your relationship because he's there. And you can count on that. You know why you can count on that? Because God promised it. Promised. So there's another place that this verse is actually quoted. Actually, there's a couple different places. One is when Solomon is dedicating this temple and he's speaking to the people of Israel and he's saying, you know what? He actually quotes this. He reminds the people that God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But what happens is God never leaves us, right? He never forsakes us. But what happens is sometimes we don't acknowledge him. Or we turn away from him, don't we? He doesn't turn away from us. We turn away from him. And the thing that separates our relationship, and when I say separates, you got to understand, it's not him separating, it's us separating. It's us keeping him at arm's length if we can. And what does that is our sin. Our sin separates us from God. As a matter of fact, ultimately, there's one place where it will be that God will be separated from us if we do not turn to him, if we do not trust in his son, Jesus Christ. There will be a point where, there will be an eternal separation from God. So there's another spot in Hebrews. That was kind of a weird transition, but I'm just going to make it right there. How's that? We're going to put a line and move on here to the next spot. Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it is. Yes. Hebrews 13. Whew. I'm just going to read the first part of this chapter. There's a lot of stuff here that it all applies, but we're going to get there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Concluding exhortations it has in my little Bible here. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, here it is, never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. So, when that was first quoted, and when that was first said back in Deuteronomy with Moses and Joshua, their circumstances were changing. Here where it's being said in Hebrews, it seems like there's a little bit different context. It's talking about God will never leave you or forsake you in the idea of being content with who you are and what you have. Instead of looking at the things of the world and finding contentment there, he's saying be content being in the presence of God, knowing that he is in control of all things. Be content in his presence in the knowledge that he's God. And he gives you all things. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but what? With prayer, supplication, present your requests to God. And he'll take care of it. So many times when our circumstances change or our contentment changes, the things that we have changed, all of a sudden we start thinking that God has abandoned us. I looked at the people on this show, and after a while they start, you know, it's kind of crazy how they're trying to take care of themselves. You know, they're trying to find their food and their water and their shelter and heat and all these different things. And so many times what happens is they don't have everything that they need. They start struggling. And it would be very easy. Why are you smiling at me back there? It'd be very easy when we don't have everything that we want and everything that we need. It'd be very easy to think that we're abandoned. All right? But God never abandons us. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting. The less we have, it's kind of cruel. When things start getting stripped away, and I don't just mean things, I mean all the distractions that we think we depend on and we think are needs. Have you ever noticed how things that people think they need are changing? Do you recognize that? I've got to the point where I think I need air conditioning. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, I just don't think I could live without air conditioning anymore. We never had air conditioning, did we, Lo? It was like hotter than the hot box at our house when we were growing up, especially upstairs. I think after you left, we might have gotten a window unit, but anyway, so you know how that is. You guys remember the days without air conditioning? Raise your hand if you remember the days without air conditioning. You lived through it. Remember that? How many of you remember the days where it was just black and white TV? Oh, yeah. We had black and white TV until I went to college. How many of you remember the days before TV? I don't remember that. You're in a class by yourself. No way. So it's amazing. What'd you say? Outhouse. I got one in my yard if you ever need one. Outhouse plumbing. Yeah. You know what? And then when you get into the circumstance, when we were in Haiti, man, plumbing's a luxury, guys. Running water in your house is a luxury. Air conditioning is a luxury. Electricity is a luxury. It's a need. We think it's a need, but it's not. When all these things get stripped away, when we start figuring out what really is at the core of our importance, you know what it really is? We need Jesus. And honestly, it's a blessing when things start getting stripped away because we find out our dependence on who we really should be dependent on, the one who says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Finding contentment, putting our trust in His provision, no matter how abundant or how scarce that provision is, can draw us closer to God in amazing ways. Trust in the promise. There's one other place. It doesn't say exactly, never will I leave you or never will I forsake you. But in Matthew chapter 28, I hadn't thought about this until this week with my study and looking at it. Matthew chapter 28, at the very end, as a matter of fact, it's Jesus, and it's His very last words recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you think about it, the very last thing that you say to someone, you guys remember, I don't want to get into sad stuff, but a lot of times we remember the very last words of a loved one that they spoke to us before they passed on. Those are kind of important words. You know what I'm saying? And here are some of the most important words that Jesus says to us before he ascends in Matthew. He says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And here it is. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I am with you always. Do you realize the context in which he's saying that? He just got done saying, go into all the world. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's an overwhelming task. I can't imagine being one of the disciples standing there and Jesus saying, go into all the world. Teach them all. Teach them not only about me, but to obey me. What an overwhelming task that seems absolutely impossible. But what makes it impossible, what makes it possible, is the truth that he says, I'm with you. Here's the thing. In your relationship with Christ, he's going to ask you to do what seems like is impossible for you. He's going to call you to ministries, call you to tasks, call you to jobs, call you to places, call you to people that seem absolutely impossible. And it is for you. But when Jesus is with you, lo, I am with you, always. Remember the attributes of God? Nothing is impossible for God. And if he calls you, if you respond in faith, and don't trust in your own strength, your own understanding, your own abilities, but recognize that God is with you. Here it is. He's with you. Nothing is impossible. All things are possible through him who gives us strength. That's why he says, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not trusting this to you and your own skill and your own knowledge and your own ability. He says, I'm not sending you off like wolves to be slaughtered. He says, I'm with you. I'm right here. And I'll never abandon you. I love you. So rubber meets road here. If you're in that spot right now where circumstances are changing and you feel like you're all alone. You're all by yourself. The truth of Scripture is you're not. The feeling that you might be experiencing right now is not God abandoning you. It might be you have turned away from God. And that feeling that you have, that you might be all by yourself, is not intended to harm you. It's intended to make you turn to seek him. To seek his kingdom and his righteousness, to seek his will for your life. And he says, then all these other things, all these things that you're worried about, the circumstances, your contentment, the worries about you're not able to do the things that he's calling you to do, all those things will be turned around. And he'll provide. Because he loves you. Now, there was one passage, and there's hundreds of passages about this idea that God will never leave us, never forsake us, that he is with us, always low, even till the end of the age, and beyond. Buzz Lightyear, and beyond! I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, so, there was one passage of all the study that I was doing that just really struck me, and I'm going to end with this. It's in Isaiah 49. I was trying, it just struck me when I read this, because what do you think on this earth, in human terms, see if I can say this right, what relationship do you think on this earth, in human terms, between people, what do you think is the closest relationship there is here on earth between human beings? What?
Marriage?
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I agree, marriage, and that's a bond in Scripture. We can talk about that and argue it, I guess. But there is a bond between a child and their mother that seems so close. And even that is a broken one in our world, which is really scary and concerning. This passage in Isaiah 49 just struck me. Verse 15. It's kind of interesting that I'm saying this with the news that you gave to us this morning, Jody and Angie. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? That would just seem like the most impossible, in my mind, bond to anyone wanting to break. But it does. It happens. And God recognized that. Listen to what it says. Though she may forget, God says, I will not forget you. That's the power of love. God's love. God's perfect love for you. He knows the plans that He has for you. He knows the path that He set out for you. He knows the rejection and the heartache and the pain. He knows the fear that you have, the uncertainty that's in your life, the turmoil that surrounds you. And here's what He says, I love you with an everlasting love. My love will never fail. I love you so much that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You may turn from me, you may run from me, you may try to hide from me, but I am there. My right hand will guide you. Acknowledge Him. And you will know Him. I'm done. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises of God. Let's stand and sing.